are tuned into WXYC Chapel Hill 89.3 FM. We are just now beginning our specialty show called the Global Music Program, which happens about once a month. Tonight's special feature is going to be on the political song in Latin America, and we have in the station with us Professor David Garcia from the Music Department. Thank you very much for coming down.
Hi, Andrew.
First things first, we'll just start off with a song from a Cuban?
That's right.
Guillermo Portavales. Do you want to say anything about him before we start?
The recording was made around 1940. And Guillermo was known for his music was very much rooted in traditional folk Cuban music. So this is an example of something that's a style of Cuban music called guajira, associated with the music of the mountain communities.
Okay, and the name of the song is El Vaivén de mi Cartera. What significance would that have for...
It translates to the sway of my cart. So it's essentially talking about the life of a farmer, a poor peasant in Cuba.
Okay, great. Let's turn to the music. Stay tuned. The Global Music Show will last until 6 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in.
Ellos están cantando, compadres están anunciando que ya empieza la jornada bien. Trabajo para el inglés, que refrán más verdadero. Sudando por un dinero, en la mano no se ve ya ver.
¿Cuándo llegaré? ¿Cuándo llegaré al bohío? ¿Cuándo llegaré? ¿Cuándo llegaré al bohío?
Vaivén de mi carrera, nace esta inspiración, compadre, oiga mi cuarteta, no tenemos protección, ya ves. Vivo el año dando sobre a los bueyes y no extraño, y a la conclusión del año, piña, mame y sabor de bien.
¿Cuándo llegaré? ¿Cuándo llegaré al bohío? ¿Cuándo llegaré? ¿Cuándo llegaré al bohío?
Triste vida la del carretero que anda por esos cañaverales, sabiendo que su vida es un destierro, se alegra con sus cantares.
¿Cuándo llegaré? ¿Cuándo llegaré al bohío? ¿Cuándo llegaré? ¿Cuándo llegaré al bohío?
Okay, we're back at the station. It's the Global Music Show on WXYC Chapel Hill. And we're here with Professor David Garcia. The topic tonight is the political song in Latin America. in the 60s and 70s, and we just heard one from Guillermo Portavales called El Vaivén de mi Cartera, which was recorded some years earlier than the rest of the music that we'll be focusing on tonight. So why don't we just lay the groundwork here and have a small discussion of what was the political climate in the 60s, and the sort of, we're all familiar with the revolution in Cuba and the communism that was spreading in Latin America that would be responded to by sort of very harsh dictatorships. But the next song we'll be listening to is by Atahualpa Yupanqui, and what would be the political context that he would be playing in? And yeah, why don't we just talk about that?
Sure. I think the broader context is the Cold War, as mm-hmm. you alluded to already. So in Latin America, as you identified, especially from the success of the Cuban Revolution in 1959 and the appearance of a communist socialist government, these sentiments, which had already been, relevant going back decades, and the first track that you just played is an example of this, right? The critique of just injustice in general, the issue of U.S. cultural as well as political imperialism. So the whole movement, Nueva Trova, in Cuba, and Nueva Canción in the rest of Latin America, dealt with these issues of social injustice locally, asking questions of which systems could better benefit more people. And in this, of course, is the debate of communism versus democracy or capitalism, actually, specifically. So with Basta Ya, yeah, the connection with this next song that we're going to listen to is that it references both lyrically and thematically the first song that we listened to, El Vaivén de mi Cartera, and essentially both critiquing critical of foreign investments, foreign ownership of lands, of the infrastructure, etc., in Cuba, in the case of the Portavales song, and Argentina, in the case of Atahualpa Yupanqui, who was Argentinian. So they're critiquing directly U.S. or in specifically, but also Western European and as well as American economic, political, and cultural imperialism.
Atahualpa Yupanqui is of European descent, if I'm not mistaken.
He's probably of mixed. He was probably of mixed heritage, so mestizo in Latin America, the reference would be mestizo, so indigenous and European.
Would he have grown up in a sort of more European context? He was from Buenos Aires?
I'm not sure exactly where he was from in Argentina, but interestingly enough, many of these singers, songwriters of the Nueva Canción and Nueva Trova movements, they were actually from middle-class families. They were intellectuals. Mm-hmm. They had access to universities, and they did study. And so, but nevertheless, they were very concerned with the plight of the poor, the peasant class of their respective nations and regionally as well. So Atahualpa Yupanqui, like Pablo Milanés and Silvio Rodríguez and all these others, were intellectuals. They were well-educated people.
Okay, great. Why don't we turn to the music then? This is Basta Ya from Atahualpa Yupanqui. And we'll probably follow that tune with one from Victor Jara, who is this sort of touchstone of Chilean Nueva Canción music. So stay tuned. You're listening to The Global Music Show. Thank you.
viene la madrugada, los gallos están cantando, compadres están anunciando que ya empieza la jornada. Mi carreta nació esta lamentación, compadre, ponga atención que ya empieza mi cuarteta. No tenemos protección. Sudando por un dinero que en la mano no se ve. Trabajo para el inglés, trabajo de carretero, sudando por un dinero que en la mano no se ve. Basta ya. Basta ya que el yanqui mande, basta ya que el yanqui mande, basta ya que el yanqui mande. El yanqui vive en palacio, yo vivo en un barracón. El yanqui vive en palacio, yo vivo en un barracón. ¿Cómo es posible que viva el yanqui mejor que yo? Basta ya que el yanqui mande, basta ya que el yanqui mande. ¿Qué pasa con mis hermanos de México y Panamá? ¿Qué pasa con mis hermanos de México y Panamá? Sus padres fueron esclavos, sus hijos no lo serán. Basta ya que el yanqui mande, basta ya que el yanqui mande. Yo de pequeño aprendí a luchar por esa paz, yo de pequeño aprendí a luchar por esa paz. De grande lo repetí y a la cárcel fui a parar. Basta ya que el yanqui mande, basta ya que el yanqui mande. ¿Quién ha ganado la guerra en los montes del Vietnam? ¿Quién ha ganado la guerra en los montes del Vietnam? El guerrillero en su tierra y el yanqui en el cinema. Basta ya que el yanqui mande, basta ya que el yanqui mande, basta ya.
Thank you. levántate y mira la montaña, de donde viene el viento, el sol y el agua. Tú que manejas el curso de los ríos, tú que sembraste el vuelo de tu alma, levántate y mírate las manos. Para crecer, estréchala a tu hermano. Juntos iremos, unidos en la sangre. Hoy es el tiempo que puede ser mañana. Líbranos de aquel que nos domina en la miseria. Tráenos tu reino de justicia e igualdad. Sopla como el viento la flor de la quebrada, limpia como el fuego el cañón de mi fusil. Hágase por fin tu voluntad aquí en la tierra. Danos tu fuerza y tu valor al combatir. Sopla como el viento la flor de la quebrada, limpia como el fuego el cañón de mi fusil. Levántate y mírate las manos. Para crecer, estréchala a tu hermano. Juntos iremos, unidos en la sangre, ahora y en la hora de nuestra muerte. Amén, amén, amén.
Okay, so you just heard a track from Victor Jara called Plegaria a un Labrador, which translates to a pledge to a laborer, I'm pretty sure. And
prayer for a farmer.
Prayer for a farmer. My rusty skills there. Before that, Atahualpa Yupanqui with Basta Ya, Enough.
Which means enough. Right.
Enough. Professor Garcia wanted to read some of the lyrics from that song, so why don't we hear that?
Sure. I mean, so for Basta Ya, a couple of the verses, as I mentioned earlier, is very direct in critiquing U.S. imperialism. So, for example, as well as Western European imperialism. In the third verse of Basta Ya, it says, "Oh, I work for the English. I work as a cart driver, sweating for money that I never see in my hands." And then the refrain, "Enough already, enough already, enough already with Yankee control. The Yankee lives in a palace. I live in a shack. How is it possible that the Yankee lives better than I?" And then a few verses down, "Who has won the war in the mountains of Vietnam? The guerrilla fighter in his homeland and the Yankee in the movies." These musicians were very much engaged, obviously, with the international politics. And again, they were musicians like Atahualpa Yupanqui, were very sympathetic to more sort of communist socialist ideology and based on that very critical of U.S. policy, foreign policy in particular, as is indicated in Basta Ya.
And by that time, U.S. Interests, especially economic interests, would be pretty thoroughly, they had fairly extensive investments in Latin America, no?
For sure. And it drove national policy within Latin America. So, you know, with foreign investments, you had also the protection of what the U.S. government would call U.S. interests, mm-hmm. right? Which we hear a lot to this day. So you had the you know, that along with efforts by the CIA to keep, number one, another Cuban socialist government from taking power in Latin America. And number two, not only that, but really trying to, along with governments, as you mentioned, dictatorships in Latin America, to get rid of any sort of threat that they saw coming from not only political people, individuals or citizens who were politically active, but also musicians.
Mm-hmm. That kind of brings us to the next song from Victor Jara, because he was performing during this period under the government of Allende, which we would consider to be sort of a less extreme version or manifestation of the communist spread in mm-hmm. Latin America.
Sure, definitely. And the first thing to take note is that he was democratically elected.
Mm-hmm.
So he did not take power through a revolution as
right.
As Castro did. But nevertheless, he was overthrown by a military coup, which was actually supported by the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
And so the democratically elected Allende government was overthrown, oddly enough, on September 11th, 1973. And soon after that came the mass arrests of Chileans suspected of being communists and communist sympathizers. And one of them, of course, was Victor Jara, who was eventually among hundreds or even thousands of other Chilean citizens killed. And in fact, he was killed. His hands were cut off as a signal to any other musician in Chile, mm-hmm. thinking of continuing to write songs critical of now the military dictatorship, which was headed by Pinochet.
So that gives us an idea of the kind of cultural sway that these artists would have had at that time. I mean, Victor Jara was a superstar, essentially, no?
Definitely the threat that they posed to the establishment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Great. We're going to move on to a track from Os Mutantes called Panis et Circuses.
It's in Latin, right? We'll just say Bread and Circuses.
Bread and Circuses. Great. This is an entirely different musical style from Brazil. Os Mutantes was a group that came together in the mid-60s, I suppose, around then.
About the early to mid-60s, right.
Okay. And this is one of their most popular songs. So let's give it a listen. Thank you for tuning in to WXYC Chapel Hill, and thanks for listening to The Global Music Show.
Pessoas na sala de jantar são ocupadas em nascer e morrer. Mandei fazer de puro aço munhoso um punhal para matar o meu amor. E matei às 5 horas na avenida. Pessoas na sala de jantar são ocupadas em nascer.
Precisa saber da piscina, da margarina, da Carolina, da gasolina. Você precisa saber de mim, baby, baby. Eu sei que é assim, baby, baby. Tomar um sorvete na lanchonete, andar com a gente, me ver de perto, ouvir aquela canção do Roberto. Baby, aprender inglês, precisa aprender o que eu sei e o que eu não sei mais, e o que eu não sei mais. Não sei, comigo vai tudo azul, contigo vai tudo em paz. Vivemos na melhor cidade da América do Sul. América do Sul, você precisa, você precisa. Não sei, leia na minha camisa.
Okay, we're back. Sorry about that. We're listening to, or we just heard a track from Gal Costa. The track is a really famous one by her called Baby. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Global Music Show, which is sponsored principally by the Center for European Studies, and we do it about once a month here, and this one is the political song in Latin America, and we're just talking about movements like Nueva Canción, and in Brazil, the songs we just heard were Tropicaliano, or...
Right. So they were two examples of Tropicalia music, so I think it's important to make the distinction between Nueva Canción music, which was examples of which we heard before, and this is music predominantly from Argentina, Chile, Bolivia, and other parts of South America. Nueva Trova refers to the political song movement coming out of Cuba, which we'll listen to next, and then what was happening all at the same time, so this is the 1960s and 1970s in Brazil, where also, like Argentina and other places, a military dictatorship was in power from 1964 on. You had there a Brazilian movement called Tropicália, politically engaged, but not in such a direct way as Nueva Canción artists were. They were critical, and they expressed their critique in different ways, including musical style. So in both Baby, but especially in Bread and Circuses.
That was the song we heard right before Baby.
Uh-huh. It was very Sgt. Pepper-ish, right? So, mm-hmm. So drawing a lot musically from what was happening in popular music in Britain as well as the U.S. And so they, unlike Nueva Canción artists, didn't see a contradiction in drawing from American popular music and British music. And in fact, with Caetano Veloso, who was one of the leaders, if not the leader, of Tropicália music in Brazil, was pretty much critical of all dogmatic ideologies, both on the left and right. Whereas Nueva Canción artists were very much on the left in their political sort of ideology. And with that, they felt it was very important to draw from the music of their indigenous and folk traditions from Chile, from Argentina, and not drawing from American popular music because that's represented to them yet another form of imperialism.
So we would say that Caetano Veloso was, and the Tropicália musicians were, offered more of a social critique rather than a political program?
Or? Yeah, you could say that. You could say that. At the same time, though, they were politically engaged, but again, in a much more complex, nuanced way. Mm-hmm. And an example of that is in 1968, Caetano Veloso and Gilberto Gil, who was another Tropicália artist, were in fact jailed by the Brazilian government for several months, and then eventually went into self-exile in London. So there were definitely political ramifications that they experienced. So it was all wrapped in together with their social critique at the same time.
And that first song we heard, Bread and Circuses, by Os Mutantes, you were going to read some of the lyrics and talk about how that ties in with their sort of discontent maybe with contemporary culture.
Right. It's essentially they're satirizing in the lyrics, satirizing bourgeois life. So in that sense, without being directly political, they were nevertheless critiquing the bourgeoisie as Nueva Canción artists were doing as well. So the lyrics, though, are very, you know, not, as I already said, directly, they're not directly political. So, as for example, I ordered a pure luminous metal to be made into a dagger to kill my love, and I killed at 5 o'clock at the Central Avenue, but the people in the dining room are busy being born and dying. So basically, they're making the distinction between reality, what's happening out in society, violence, say, for example, and contrasting that reality with bourgeois life in the dining room, as they say, sort of removed, completely oblivious to what's happening in people's lives outside of their own comfort zone.
Right, and at the end of that song, I notice we hear a sound of some breaking dishes, which is sort of telling, I suppose, as the ramifications of maybe isolating oneself within this sort of comfortable.
Exactly. And you also, you hear a quote of Johann Strauss's waltz, Blue Danube, right? So again, alluding to musically to middle class bourgeois, you know, culture, sentiment, and all of that. So they were very clever in their critique, much more clever, I think, than Nueva Canción artists.
And they didn't specifically or overtly associate this kind of bourgeois culture with the West, or because they didn't necessarily look at the indigenous population as an alternative.
Not really. And in fact, if anything, Brazilian or Tropicália artists drew much more from Afro-Brazilian culture and not so much from indigenous culture in Brazil. Yeah, and you're right. I think they were equally critical of the contradictions in their own country. But I think Nueva Canción artists were also. You know, it wasn't only about U.S. imperialism. It was both that and the middle class and the political elites that they were also critical of in their own nations as well.
And moving on, the next song, Baby, by Gal Costa, which I believe is one of her most famous songs, and it's a lovely one. Why did you choose to play that one?
Because some of these artists, Nueva Canción artists, as well as Tropicália artists, and Nueva Trova artists, for that matter, in Cuba, you know, they were predominantly involved in expressing ideas and critiquing sort of society and politics and all that, but sometimes you also had they just composed music for music's sake, let's say. And I think Baby's an example of this. It's just a beautiful song, and it really doesn't address anything in particular, specifically the issues we've been talking about. It's just a brilliant arrangement. The strings are the string arrangement is wonderful. Gal Costa's performance of it was great. Actually, Gaetano Veloso, who wrote Baby, wrote it for his sister, Bethania, who was very popular at the time. And she was associated with this group of what they call the Baianos, the people from Bahia. Gaetano Veloso, Gilberto Gil, Bethania, and Gal Costa.
Bahia is a province or a region in Brazil?
It's a state, in... Northern Brazil, where they were from.
Distinctive, maybe.
It's really the center of Afro-Brazilian culture in Brazil, so they were these musicians who were associated with Tropicália were from Bahia, and I guess the point is that the Baby was originally composed for by Gaetano Veloso for his sister, but Gal Costa ended up singing it. And as you mentioned, is probably one of the most popular and well-known Tropicália songs from that era.
And that's, I suppose, our discussion of Tropicália here on the show today. And we'll move on next to a sort of three-song segment with the Nueva Trova artists, Silvio Rodriguez, Pablo Milanés, and one other one, or no...
They're from both of them. The first one is features both Silvio and Pablo, right? And then the next one after that, what do we have next?
The next one was El Fusil Contra Fusil.
Right, that's Silvio Rodriguez, and then Pablo Milanés is also there too for the third one,
which will be El Pobre del Cantor.
Right,
and these artists are sort of much more in the vein of the Nueva Canción artists in terms that they sort of drew inspiration from maybe even American singer-songwriters like Woody Guthrie or Bob Dylan.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I can say, right. I see Pablo Milanés and Silvio Rodriguez and other Cuban Nueva Trova artists from this time kind of in the middle. You know, you have the Chilean and Argentinian Nueva Canción artists really on the left politically, but then musically very orthodox, right, in their rejection of anything that's not Chilean or Argentinian music. On the complete other side, you have the Tropicália artists who were critical of, as I mentioned already, all of these dogmatic ideologies. So they were drawing from everything, Brazilian and non-Brazilian, and that was part of their movement. the Cuban artists were in the middle. They drew both from Cuban traditional music as well as rock aesthetics, and as you mentioned, the singer-songwriter aesthetics of Bob Dylan. And so there, they were both. But politically, ideologically, they were much aligned with the Nueva Canción artists.
Uh-huh. And we were talking earlier about this sort of them fitting into the program of the Cuban Revolution, but also coming into conflict with the Cuban Revolution. Do you have any words about that?
Exactly. Basically, the Castro government didn't know what to do with them. Mm-hmm. In the early years of the revolution, music was down, very much down on the list of priorities. So they didn't pay too much attention to them until these artists just started getting recognition in Cuba and beyond. And Silvio Rodriguez in particular, although he has remained committed to the revolution, he's never left Cuba, and Pablo Milanes hasn't either, and they're still active.
Mm-hmm.
They were nevertheless critical of the Castro, at times, critical of the Castro government.
Do you have any specific sort of policies of the government or events that
Well, there came a time in the late 60s where the Castro government was very weary of outside influences, and this would include the counterculture. Coming from the U.S., so, you know, hippie culture, music, as that related to musical style, dress, lifestyle. And Silvio more than Pablo, but Silvio definitely, you know, was sort of dressed like a hippie with ripped jeans, had long hair.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, he represented everything that the Castro government in rhetoric was critiquing of the U.S., right? So he was kind of contradicting what Cuba, what Castro was emphasizing at the time. So in that sense, he was questioning or ignoring or not in line with the rhetoric coming from the Castro government.
And did he ever suffer any sort of ramifications of?
Indeed, both Pablo and Silvio were sent at different times to these sort of retraining camps that existed in Cuba. And so people suspected of being counter-revolutionaries were either jailed or sent to these sort of, you know, re-education camps where they would be taught, quote-unquote, you know, a correct sort of revolutionary.
Which certainly seems strange considering that these artists, we'll hear them right now perform a song called Cubava, which means onward to some extent.
Yeah, onward Cuba.
Onward Cuba.
You know, they're obviously proud of their Cuban identity, and also for the most part in agreement with the socialist project that was Cuba at that time. So in these examples, you know, you get that the sort of, you know, supporting the larger goals of the revolution.
Okay, let's turn to the music once again. This is the Global Music Show on WXYC. We are discussing, as we have been over the past several minutes, the political climate and music of Latin America in the 60s and 70s. Here is a song performed by Pablo Milanes and Silvio Rodriguez called Cubava. Thanks for tuning in.
Del amor estamos hablando, por amor estamos haciendo. Se está hasta matando para por amor seguir trabajando. Que nadie interrumpa el rito, queremos amar en paz para decir en un grito Cuba va. Quiero abrir mi voz al mundo, que llegue al último confín de norte a sur y de
este a oeste. Y que cualquier hombre pueda gritar sus propias esperanzas, sus heridas y su lucha cuando se enrede en la maleza. Puede que algunas noches las estrellas no quieran salir. Puede que con los brazos haya que abrir la selva. Pero a pesar de los pesares, como sea,
¡gracias!
Okay, this is WXYC Chapel Hill, 89.3 FM, and you just heard a track from Pablo Milanés called Pobre del Cantor. Preceded by that was Silvio Rodríguez with El Fusil Contra Fusil, and we started off that set with Cuba Va, which was those two artists performing in concert together. So this is part of the Global Music Show that we're doing here right now, focusing on the political song in Latin America in the 1960s and 70s. And we've talked about the Southern Cone and Brazil, and we just moved on to Cuba, which is certainly very important politically for Latin America and the era in general. And so why don't we look at this song by Silvio Rodríguez, El Fusil Contra Fusil.
Right, it's, it translates to, as you mentioned, rifle against rifle, and the lyrics, although never mentioning Che Guevara, could be interpreted as referring to his death in the mountains of Bolivia. So, for example, in the first verse, El silencio del monte va, the silence of the mountain goes, preparando un adiós, preparing a goodbye or farewell. La palabra que se dirá en memoriam, the word that will be given as a memorial, será la explosión, will be an explosion. So, and then this is followed by, se perdió el hombre de este siglo, the man of this century was lost. Su nombre y su apellido, his name and last name is rifle versus rifle. So Che Guevara was, of course, the embodiment of violent revolution against injustice. And then one last quote from the third verse. Todo el mundo tercero va, all of the third world, enterrar su dolor, will bury its pain. So again, Che Guevara, thinking about Che Guevara and his concern with are fomenting revolution in the third world, right? So these are all references to Che Guevara and his goals, but never actually identifying his name in the lyrics.
And by this time this song was written, which was, do you know about when?
Around 1968.
Around then, he would have been sort of a folk hero, if not kind of a world legend, a sort of, you know,
definitely
internationally known figure of the sort of communist cause in Latin America. And what it seems to me is here Silvio Rodriguez is, if not glorifying him and all of his ideals, at least justifying the violence of the revolution.
Right. I think so. Definitely. The next song, the last song that we listened to, Pablo Milanés, is Pobre del Cantor. Unfortunate is the singer. It is essentially about suggesting that singers or singer-songwriters having the obligation to address in song social injustice. So again, this is much definitely related to the entire movement that we're talking about today, the role of political song in politics at this time.
And the Latin American songwriters, especially maybe from the Southern Cone and Cuba, maybe not as much in Brazil, certainly did feel that as a pressing obligation, as did, I suppose, lots of American songwriters from the period.
Right. Sure.
Okay. So that was the Cuban sort of portion of the show, and we're going to move on. This will be our final song during the show, called Justicia by Eddie Palmieri. Do you want to tell us a little about him?
Right. I thought it would be important to include in this discussion of what was happening in the 60s and 70s Latino artists in the United States. So Eddie Palmieri was of Puerto Rican heritage, born in New York, and his repertory is salsa music. So there is a significant repertory within salsa music that dealt with and deals with social injustice. The same, pretty much the same issues that we've been talking about today. Ruben Blades is the perfect example. He was has and continues to be very politically engaged in his lyrics. This example from the early 1970s, Justicia, which translates to justice, definitely essentially talks about justice needed for not only Puerto Ricans but African Americans. So there's this identification from the Puerto Rican perspective with the African American experience with respect to racism, discrimination, social injustice.
And would the salsa artists that were living in America at the time of Puerto Rican descent or any of these artists of Latin American descent working in America have identified with communism at all or the Latin American cause?
With respect to Eddie Palmieri, probably not, although one doesn't have to subscribe to communism to critique social injustice, right? Ruben Blades, I don't think he would identify himself as communist either, because like Cayetano Veloso, I think he has been suspicious of dogma and dogmatic applications of whatever ideologies, but nevertheless, all of these artists, right, in their different ways, dealing with the issue of social injustice.
Okay, this will be our last show and our last song and our last sort of conversation here. But this has been the Global Music Show, focusing on, as we've said, Latin America. And I'd like to thank Professor David Garcia of the Music Department for coming in. And you had something you wanted to mention.
Right. The UNC Music Department will be hosting a Latin American festival and conference March 27th through the 30th of this year. You can get the information on the schedule of events through the Music Department's website.
Thank you so much. That should be interesting if you've enjoyed what you've heard today, and I hope you have. Here is Eddie Palmieri with the track Justicia. It's 6 o'clock, and you're tuned into WXYC Chapel Hill.
justicia tendrán, justicia verán en el mundo los desafortunados. Con el canto del tango la justicia yo reclamo. Justicia tendrán, justicia verán el mundo y los discriminados. Recompensa ellos tendrán, no serán, no serán perjudicados. Si no hubiera tiranía, todos fuéramos hermanos. Dulce paz y armonía, alegría, tú lo verás. Justicia tendrán, justicia verán el mundo y lo que deseamos. Con el canto mi tango, oye mi tango, la justicia yo reclamo.
Ay, cuando llegará la justicia,
cuando llegará, cuando llegará.
Ay, cuando llegará la justicia,
justicia para los boricuas y los niños.
Ay, cuando llegará la justicia,
mi tambor reclamo.
Thank you. justicia, la justicia, la justicia.
Tú verás mi socio,
la justicia,
voy a poner tango a arachar,
la justicia.
Y cuando llegue ese día,